that as your volunteer at time and get your community hours before you even get back to school in the fall. It's just an idea. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins show coming up after the CBS News. Have a terrific weekend, and thank you, Spencer, for coming into the show, and
You're welcome.
You to all the callers.
Yeah. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles.
He ruled that he was remanding Ms. Hilton to the sheriff's custody to serve the remainder of her sentence.
Alan Parrachini of the Los Angeles Superior Court as Paris Hilton is sent back to jail. The hotel heiress screamed and cried as she was led away by sheriff's deputies. During the one-hour court hearing, the city attorney argued that Hilton should have never been released from jail by the sheriff. If there are medical problems, the city attorney said, there are doctors at the jail. Hilton's lawyers tried to get the judge to delay her return to allow her to undergo an outside medical examination. The judge said no. Is there a chance for an appeal? CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
They can't imagine that too many appeals judges will want to rush to her rescue.
I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles, now with more CBS News. Here's Jim Taylor.
By any account, the war in Iraq has not gone well. More than anything else, that explains the actions of the Secretary of Defense today recommending a new chairman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff to replace General Peter Pace.
Trying to extend or get him a second tour as chairman, I'm sure, would have been very difficult for the administration in light of the confirmation hearings, the new Democratic majority. And apparently as well, Secretary Gates is really hard over to establish his own team, a new direction in the Pentagon. Time for some new faces.
CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland. Pace does not step down till September, pending confirmation of Admiral Mike Mullen to take his place. It is scheduled a bit more than an hour and a half from now. Liftoff of the Space Shuttle Atlantis, a return to space. Let's go live to Kennedy Space Center, CBS's Peter King.
Oh, you couldn't ask for a better evening for launch. Clear skies, no rain in sight. The crew is all aboard and ready to fly.
Atlantis, OTC, UATF, Comtech.
CDR, loud and clear.
Commander Rick Sturkow and crew checking their radios a little while ago. He's one of three veterans along with four rookies on this flight. They include Clay Anderson, about to start a six-month mission aboard the International Space Station. Again, the weather's looking good so far. Our smooth countdown, no problems, Jim.
Some light being shed on the mysteries of breast cancer survival.
A study finds breast cancer survivors don't really extend their lives much with exercise alone or with just a healthy diet filled with fruits and vegetables. But
put them both together, then we had a strong impact.
A 50% reduction in the risk of death, even among obese women. University of California researcher John Pierce, lead author of this Journal of Clinical Oncology study.
We can't rule out that these are the most motivated people trying to do the best they can.
He says a more likely explanation for the benefit is that these lifestyle choices influence estrogen levels linked to breast cancer. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
It's not only about Paris. A London judge sentencing George Michael to 100 hours of community service, a two-year ban on driving, the pop singer pleading guilty to driving on drugs. Things really heating up on Wall Street the last trading hours of the week. The Dow finishing up 157 points today to end at 13,424. The NASDAQ up 32 and the S&P up 17 points as well. This is CBS News.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
The way it stands now, there will likely be no immigration reform this year. The bill in the Senate's melting away.
The bipartisan group of senators who negotiated with the Bush administration to produce the immigration bill say they aren't ready to give up. It's just too important, says Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter.
It's unfinished business, and we're going to finish it for the benefit of the American people.
The bill got pulled from the Senate floor after most Republicans and some Democrats wouldn't agree to end the debate. Democrat Edward Kennedy says they just have to keep trying.
It takes a lot of patience to get things done here in the United States Senate.
But chances for immigration reform this year have to be considered slim. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
United States and Mexico agreeing today to improve customs services in an effort to reduce drug trafficking. This just weeks after Mexico admitted its border crossings are a weak point in its war against drug gangs. Mexican finance minister signing a preliminary agreement with Washington today. It would upgrade equipment and raise the personal integrity of customs agents. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem, maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Well, Dad's a hard-working dynamo. It's Father's Day, let him know.
Dad, let your working worries go.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Father's Day. Go out back, where fresh salmon is grilled moist and tender, and the steaks are thick and juicy. No worries. We're open early for Father's Day.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Father's Day, we're open at 11.
What a way to make your Father's Day.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. I'm glad you have joined us wherever you happen to be listening in Portland, Oregon, Monterey, California, Eureka, California, or Coos Bay, Oregon, or on that internet thing anywhere across the country. Thanks for being part of the Peter B. Collins thing. On today's program, we'll spend the first hour talking about climate change. We'll get some comments on the G8 summit just concluded in Germany and its approach to global warming issues. Coming up next hour, something we've been anticipating for a while. There's an important event underway today and this weekend in the Eureka area at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale. It is a stand-down for veterans. And if you're a veteran and you're learning about this for the first time, you can stop by at the fairgrounds today or tomorrow. We'll give you more details coming up. And we're going to talk to a number of the participants in the stand-down. People who help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental issues. People who help provide housing and a transition back into the mainstream. And we'll talk to some actual veterans, too, along with a representative of the Veterans Administration. So stand by for that coming up about an hour from now. And as usual on our program, we'll wrap it up today with an hour of election protection and election integrity coverage with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Brad's had a heck of a week, and we'll recap that for you coming up in the third hour today. But first, I want to welcome back to our program Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley, where he is Professor of Energy and Society, Energy and Resources Group, and Director of the Renewable and Appropriate Energy Laboratory, RAEL. Dan Kamen, good to talk with you again.
Well, thanks for having me back on.
So tell me your thoughts about the G8 summit as it applies to the climate change issues, because Bush came with a new plan. Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, had a plan that is largely framed around the Kyoto Accords from the 1990s. And then China came in and said, oh, we've got a plan, too. Look, it's 62 pages long. How did all that shake out from your point of view, Professor?
Well, it, unfortunately, it didn't shake very much, I fear. What had happened is that Germany and the EU as a, overall, as a whole came in the months before this saying that they wanted to cut their greenhouse gas emissions by 20% right away, you know, so for the next 10 years, if the U.S. did nothing. But they would up it to 30% if the U.S. would actually participate. And that seemed like a very reasonable sort of plan to get the U.S. involved.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of individual countries, the U.K. has committed to about 60% cuts in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. California has committed already to 80%, though the world's sort of leading municipality on this. Sweden has a very strong plan, so does Austria, so does Germany. And then the U.S., 2 weeks ago, our president announced that there was going to be a U.S. plan. But it wasn't much of a plan. It basically said we wanted to see discussions, not that those aren't going on already, and that the U.S. would take part and be a leader. And, of course, my view of being a leader is actually leading, not just saying you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so the U.S. plan didn't amount to much except for discussions about these issues.
Leading to voluntary cutbacks.
Leading to voluntary, mm-hmm. and at least the numbers are on the table. What the U.S. plan is supposed to be about is discussions towards cuts that would be in this 40 to 50% range over the next four decades or so. But it's nice to talk about them. We've got to get somewhere. And so far, we're not seeing much U.S. action. We're seeing a desire to be part of a conversation because that's really the only industrial country to be totally left out. But I feel what's happened here is that to get the U.S. on board, Merkel in particular have really bent over too far backwards, or I guess Bushwards.
Mm.
Be the right thing. Because what we're seeing is that they're saying, well, we like this as a first step from the administration, from the Bush administration. And I guess it's great to have them in a dialogue, but it's really unfortunate that this seems to be coming at the expense of keeping some of these hard numeric standards in place. And until we have serious numeric standards, we're sending business and industry a really mixed message. We're saying that we're going to talk about it, but we're not going to enforce anything.
Mm-hmm.
And a CEO of a company then doesn't know where to act, doesn't know whether this is just posturing because it's the politically, you know, convenient things to say at the moment, or if there's going to be real action. So I fear it does more harm than good. And I guess the last piece of it is that before the President's State of the Union address back in January, a set of U.S. companies, headed by many of the big companies, Duke Energy, Alcoa, very energy-intensive aluminum manufacturer, General Electric, a whole bunch of companies called U.S. CAP said, we want to have some regulatory certainty. We're asking the president to act. And it sort of led to famous editorials of people like Tom Friedman saying, you know, it's too bad that Jeff Immelt, the head of GE, is being more presidential than is the president, because we're just not giving industry any clear signals. And so it's very unclear what's going to come out of it. We need industry involved. We need a little bit of leadership. And U.S. companies are even asking for it. So I fear while people are going to walk away from the G8 saying that it's nice to see the U.S. part of the dialogue, this is really just about as meaningless as it could be for something of this sort of high stature.
And would you suspect that that was the goal of George W. Bush, was to go in, make some noise, offer a kind of a PR initiative with no real meat or teeth, and then dance away and say, look, we made progress?
Well, I've actually stopped trying to guess what this president will do, to be honest, on these issues. I fear that's the only reasonable conclusion. I would have liked to have thought that this is a president who has a pretty smart set of people operating in the Department of Energy, in the Environmental Protection Agency. They haven't proven to be action-oriented, but they're certainly well-educated. I would have liked to have thought that they had finally got through to him. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And, in fact, at the Republican presidential debate, what you've seen is essentially all of the Republicans distancing themselves from Bush. Now, obviously, that's largely on the Iraq issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not seeing them saying, well, you know, I really differ with the president on Iraq, but I'm delighted to see movement on environment, on immigration, et cetera. We're not seeing any of that. So I fear the more pessimistic version of what you just said is what seems to be going on. And it's getting a little late in the day to be in the do-nothing category on climate change.
Dan Kamen is with us. He's a professor at UC Berkeley. If you have a question or comment, he's going to be with us this entire hour, so you're welcome to call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Now, Dan Kamen, this administration and this president have been perhaps the most anti-science, at least in my lifetime, if not in American history. And I'm not trying to come up with a silver lining here, but is it fair to say that we have seen significant change, at least in the posture of the president, as regarding human behavior contributing to climate change, global warming?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think we've seen much change at all on the, from the president. I do think that we've seen a huge amount of action on climate change, really meaningful action, from different U.S. states, largely in their frustration over what the president hasn't done. But I'm not sure we've seen a whole lot of good action on the part of even good words on the part of the president. So I'm not sure how much I would ascribe to sort of him getting a change of heart. But in terms of what's happened in New York State and California, a number of others, that's been impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we saw this week there was a skirmish in the Congress as some of the, Congressman Dingell from Michigan and a coal state congressman, I think, from West Virginia, Nick Rahal, who have framed a national piece of legislation that would preempt the climate change legislation that has begun, as you said, in some of the states, including here in California. Now, Speaker Pelosi intervened and put the kibosh on that, so that appears to be behind us. But it is an indication, even in the Democratic Party, of the kinds of conflicting pressures that legislators are going to experience as they try to approach this issue.
Well, that's right. I think that there's a couple of different features going on. One is that, you know, economics trumps the day, and auto industry states like Michigan are very skeptical about doing something because their industry is, you know, is the dinosaur in this deal, the one that hasn't evolved very quickly. In fact, U.S. auto manufacturers are really trailing the Europeans and Japanese because they've done so little to innovate for so long. So you are seeing more of the economic story than just a simple Democrat versus Republican. There are some very, very progressive Republicans on climate change. Senator McCain, Senator Snow, a whole range of people. And so you're seeing, you know, what's the real underbelly, not the straight ideology, but the economics. And I think what's unfortunate is that the places that have really looked at climate change economics more seriously, like California and New York and Texas, those are the leaders in terms of clean energy legislation. Each of those states have some of the most aggressive laws in place to put renewable energy, notably wind and solar so far, into practice. Texas, and the one you don't normally think of as being an environmental leader, has in fact been arguably the most impressive leader because they started this trend towards environmental laws, and they went quite far and discovered each time they called for more renewables that it came out cheaper than they thought, and it sort of gotten Texas on this bandwagon of going for more and more because they've discovered that wind power mixed with their big natural gas base really improves the economy, not just in the cost of power, but in a more broad aspect where they've got a more diverse economy, they have jobs in different sectors. And so the things like the Detroit lobby saying we don't want to see any action on this, I think are really cutting short their own productivity and hurting U.S. productivity overall. So it's unfortunate, but these are the battles that will have to be waged, you know, with good science and good economic analysis to get us to a point of action.
Well, Dan Kamen, one of the reasons I love doing a talk show like this is that I actually learn something from almost every interview. And Texas? I never would have suspected. We'll talk more as we continue. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That number is 888-573-8372. It's 18 minutes after the hour. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays.
P&T Puppet Theater reminds listeners, always keep a watchful eye out for all children. Remember, you can't keep an adventurous child from trying to learn, but you can keep track of him while he does. For help or information on the prevention of child abduction, call your local authorities. This message is courtesy of P&T Puppet Theater, serving our community with pride and integrity for years. Give them a call at 831-754-2411 or visit ptpuppets.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco. Dan Kamen, a professor at UC Berkeley, is our guest. We're talking about global warming. Can't resist trotting out my favorite song from Dr. Elmo.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Chlorofluorocarbons strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come home to roost.
And one of the key topics, perhaps topic A, at the G8 summit this week at a German resort along the North Sea was climate change and how we can address trying to reduce global warming and human contributions to it. As I mentioned, Dan Kamen is a professor at the University of California at Berkeley. And Dan, returning to the G8, did anything good come out of it? Do you feel that there is at least some consensus that we ought to do something, even if we can't agree on what that is?
I guess that's the optimistic view. I mean, certainly it's nice to have everyone mentioning the words and not talking about just Kyoto, which calls for a few percent, sort of 5 to 6% cut in emissions over a few years, but talking about the right level of numbers, and that's a cutting emissions by half or more by 2050. So at least the dialogue is in the right area, but I don't think the dialogue wasn't there before. Everyone but the U.S. has been talking about those numbers for some time. If this sets the stage for a next administration that's going to be proactive, then that's a fine thing. But I wouldn't see much here to be excited about. I'm more pleased that the G8 said they would commit $50 to $60 billion for Africa, which was what was on the table at the Glen Eagle Summit in the UK that was disrupted by the bombing in London a year ago.
Right.
So that's a positive sign because we absolutely need to do something on that front. But the U.S. really needs to figure out that doing something on global warming is likely to be good for our economy in the sense that we are likely to be a source of many of the clean technologies if we only tell that as a signal to our industry. And so far, this administration's told U.S. industry that they're going to make things so ambiguous that you shouldn't do much of anything. So we really do need a change at the top.
And aren't we setting a bad example for China?
Well, we certainly are. You know, people like to say, well, we shouldn't do things because China is a big emitter, too, and they need to do things. But China already is experiencing significant negatives from environmental damage. They already have more deaths when there's bad air quality and serious water problems that are related to environmental problems. So I think that China already gets the message. But what they're not seeing are the countries that are more affluent taking a stand, and that's particularly the U.S. So it doesn't help China to moving ahead, but China's already, I would say, more environmentally sensitive than we are. They just have a bigger hole to dig out of, so it's going to take longer than it would be if we were sort of partnering and talking about, you know, this whole summit could have been about technology transfer, and it could have been about partnering on different issues and having international consortiums to think about sequestering carbon and major initiatives to build solar. Arguably the most statesmanlike person there was Bono, I would say, who has just fed up with the level of inaction. Mm-hmm. But definitely the U.S. and China are the laggards in this field.
Well, and as we're going to talk about in the next segment about Richard Branson and your involvement with some of his initiatives, I see incredible opportunities here to build new industries, to develop new technologies, both in terms of fuels and other needed systems here on planet Earth. And I didn't hear any of that opportunity talk at the G8 summit. I didn't listen to every word, so perhaps I missed it. But I see here an opportunity for nations to get together, pool some money, pool some technical resources and some of our great brains, and really come together to try to solve this problem. And that could have win-win-win scenarios into many different directions.
I think that's exactly right. And you didn't hear about those details because those details typically follow when there are accords in place. It's hard to go pick and choose industries internally to a country when you haven't set the big framework. And Germany is able to look at their wind industry and their solar industry and to say, by supporting these internally, by putting our money where our mouth is, by paying higher utility rates to jumpstart these industries, we went from, pretty quickly, from a situation where we were subsidizing to get these off the ground to the places where German factories have several-year waiting lists to for other countries wishing to buy their products.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right, we didn't get that talk, but you need a little bit of, you know, a little bit of leadership goes a long way, and the U.S. hasn't shown it yet. Governor Schwarzenegger is showing much more leadership than Bush is, and you're seeing the same thing in New York, again, in Texas, a number of places that are doing it individually. And this is really impressive, but there's no question that while the states individually can set good targets and can help their industries move in the clean tech direction which they're doing, that it helps everybody if there's a little more certainty at the top.
Yep, very good. We're going to take a break and return with Professor Dan Kamen. He's with us for the remainder of this hour. So if you have a question or comment about climate change, about the U.S. address to it, we'd love to hear from you. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Todd the Taxi Driver. And today, I've got a really important subject to talk about. This may surprise you, but it's not about politics. It's not about my perspective or my ideas. It's about what makes it possible for me to share my opinions with you every day. I'm talking about advertisers. Unfortunately, it costs a lot of money to own a radio station and keep it up and running. For those of us that have radio programs on KRXA, we're able to be here because of the support of local advertisers. So, what's my point? If you're a local business and you like hearing what I have to say each day, even if you don't like what I have to say, but you support free speech, call the station and offer to sponsor this spot. Maybe you like Billy Sunshine's show on the weekend, or you listen to Hal and Coach every afternoon. If you like progressive radio, then become an advertising sponsor. And together, we can point out the hypocrisy of the right and continue to share the views from the left. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, live coverage of the Veterans Stand Down in Eureka, actually in Ferndale, this weekend.
We continue our conversation about climate change, and if you have a question or a comment, our lines are open for you, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our guest is Daniel M. Kamen, professor of public policy at the University of California at Berkeley.
This ain't no technological breakdown. This is the road to hell.
So my cousin Grant gave me a subscription to The New Yorker about 5 years ago, and he's kind enough to renew it every year. I love it. I love the investigative reporting by people like Seymour Hersh, and they've done a great job covering the science of climate change with Elizabeth Colbert over the last few years, and the cartoons are great, too. And so I was plowing through a recent issue, and I started to get interested in this article written by a fellow named Michael Spector about Richard Branson. And, I consider him to be a showboat and, a TV camera chaser, but very good at it. And I've ridden on his airplanes, and I did taste his cola a few years back. And I give him credit as a great thinker and an entrepreneur and a guy who can galvanize other people to get things done. And so I'm reading this, and it seems just kind of like a profile of Branson, and I was about ready to put it down when it made a reference to Necker Island. And it perked me up because I'm a sailor, and more than a few weeks ago for my 40th birthday, my brother and a friend helped me charter a sailboat in the British Virgin Islands. And we went sailing around, and we found this one on the chart called Necker Island. Private, it said. So I got on the radio, shipped ashore, and I said, hello, this is whatever our boat was, and request permission to come ashore. It was met with silence. And so I'll admit we had been drinking.
Everyone does that in the sailing the BVIs, I must say.
They provision you with rum, and you may as well use it. So, Dan, my next step was to just get a little clever, and I ratcheted up, and I said, hello, Necker Island, this is the Mossad, requesting permission to come ashore. And a harried female voice came on the crackling radio saying, so sorry, but the island is booked today, and we cannot accommodate you.
Yep.
So I did get my response. And then as I continued to read the article, the name Dan Kamen came up. And it turns out that, Dan, you are involved in some of the projects that Richard Branson has underway. Let's first talk about Necker Island, because it's someplace I do want to go, and maybe some way you can wrangle an invitation, and I'll come down and visit you there. But what is this mega millionaire doing, kind of his own little laboratory in the British Virgin Islands?
Well, it's of all those things and more. It's actually his home, which is why they don't let people just sort of drop in. But the way his home works is that it's a gorgeous Balinese-style resort. And so groups book it, and you book it for, I think, you can't book for less than 7 days at a stretch, and mm-hmm. it's not too cheap. And you can do, I think, 7 to 14 days, and you book the whole island. You can have just yourself on it, or you can have up to you and, I think, about 24, 25 friends.
Yeah, and I have a high-limit credit card, but I could probably only handle 2 or 3 days at the
tariffs. Yeah, I don't think any of us could. And so what has happened for Richard is that he owns an airline, and so his business is carbon-intensive, and he is quite aware of that. And he was convinced by Al Gore and by Bill Clinton, primarily by Al Gore initially, actually, to really commit to making a serious go at being a green entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the last Clinton Global Summit last September, he announced that he wanted to hopefully make as much money in the coming decade as in the past decade. That was about $3 billion, which is not a small sum.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to do it green and did not know how to do that. And the brilliance of Richard is that he knows how to stake out important turf, even if he doesn't know the route. And a lot of people are sort of afraid to act. They only want to do things when they see the whole path. And mm-hmm. Richard is not. He's bold enough. I mean, he's a showman, but he's bold enough to know what he wants and then see if he can make it happen. So he's committed to not doing any worse financially over the next decade, although I think he suspects he'll do a little worse, but to do it through a green process. And so starting with his own laboratory, he wants his island that currently uses about 300 gallons of diesel fuel a day to go green. And while the most aggressive U.S. states are talking about getting to 20 or 30% clean energy over, you know, 2 or 3 decades, he said, well, that's fine, but I really want to go the whole way. I want to see, can we make the whole place green? So the plans we've been developing for his island is to go 95, 100% green. And one of my students here at Berkeley, Dan Prohl, a mechanical engineer, and I have been working through a range of plans involving largely solar and wind and some storage, something called a flow battery, which is sort of a fuel cell connected to a big electrical storage system, big chemical electrical storage, to green Necker Island, the island where you tried to land, and then the neighboring island, which he recently purchased because his island's doing so well with high-end guests that he actually doesn't have any place to live. He stays in the apartment whenever guests come to the island.
Oh, really?
So he'll build his own home on the neighboring island. So we're working on a plan for that island called Mosquito Island. Not a great name, but I think you stay with these names. And there's a real prospect that the British Virgin Islands as a chain, as a country, may go green as well if they see enough of a demo from people like Sir Richard to make it happen. And so we're hoping it'll spread even more broadly than just his islands. And then there's, of course, a whole network of these high-end resorts, and there around the world there's a group of, I think, about 14 or 15 Virgin hotels, resorts, and they may go green. And then, of course, it gets to the sticky question that even if we succeed, let's say we install the wind turbines and the solar panels, and while you're on Necker Island vacationing at the high end, you are feeling good about your lack of a carbon impact. But, of course, you flew 8,000 miles to get there. Right? So that's a little problem.
Yeah.
And so the part of the equation we're working on now, which is, you know, harder, essentially, is to green the whole vacation so that you're not just feeling good and you can go home and saying, look at me, here's a picture of me on a zero-carbon vacation, but that your whole trip is. And since we don't know how to make airplanes carbon-free right now, we're talking about biojet fuel and various things, but there's no easy solution yet. I think it's most likely that, in fact, what I'm advocating for Richard is that they essentially, for each individual person going to Necker, your hotel, you know, your rate of stay is variable, and it's variable based on how long it took, how far you flew to get there. And so the extra amount you pay based on the distance traveled is going to be essentially a carbon tariff you're paying that would not go into just the revenues of his group called the Virgin Group, but it would go towards real carbon reduction projects elsewhere in the world. So we're working on this zero carbon strategy, and I really think that the unique feature of Richard is that he is willing to entertain these things that no one else has done. And talking about going zero carbon is just so different than what we're seeing in many places we're talking about.
Now, Dan Kamen, one thing that intrigued me here in the New Yorker reference to Mosquito Island is the development of tidal power. Tell us a little bit about this. I'm sure it's in the early stages, but it is a tremendous force. As a sailor, I have come up against the tides at times where I have a good head of wind pushing me along, and I'm going absolutely nowhere because I'm sailing directly into the tide. This happens under the Golden Gate Bridge on a regular basis.
That's right. In fact, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is looking right now to install a significant amount of tidal power. It would be essentially a series of turbines. They're called inline turbines, so it's kind of turbine inside a shaft, so there's no externally exposed blade. But the Golden Gate Bridge has a massive flow. And so these would be a series of these sort of caged turbines put down at the bottom, 180 feet down, and they would generate a good amount of power for San Francisco. So we're talking about that technology for the British Virgin Islands. But actually, it's been doing pretty well on the research side for a while. There's a really serious marine energy research lab that the European Union runs. There's one that the UK government runs. They're actually both based in northern Scotland, the Hebrides. And what we're seeing now are the first commercial applications just coming out. There may or may not be one of these in our initial plan for Necker. I'm not sure it's a great match, largely because it's not all that deep near the islands we're looking at. So it may not be a great match there, but there's a whole bunch of technologies that haven't been looked at that fit well. I mean, the one I described is sort of like the caterpillar screw, if you saw The Hunt for Red October,
sure,
kind of this inline thing. But then there's also bobbing and floating things that take the energy of that wave, or pistons that get driven by the water pressure,
mm-hmm,
and putting all that into energy. And so these look promising. They are no carbon, but as any sailor knows, the marine environment's not very forgiving, and rust and corrosion and storms can really do a lot of damage. And so getting reliable marine energy systems is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really a joke, but I want to describe for people that the island nearby, Necker Island, is a British Virgin Island called Virgin Gorda. And it has an area called the Baths, as the British say, the Baths. And my take on it is it looks like there was a rock fight between some giants centuries or, you know, eons ago. And I'm just wondering if that rock power has any potential, Dan.
Well, I don't know about the rock power, but what is kind of fun is that nearby to all these islands are many of the places that were the actual Pirates of the Caribbean locations.
Mm-hmm.
The bar that you, I hope, stopped at as you left Virgin Gorda, called Saba Rocks,
yeah,
is a place where the pirates hung out. And what we are finding in a lot of these situations is that for a while it sort of seemed that the rich northern countries really had a great sort of exclusive lock on renewable energy. They were the places where this could happen. But now we're seeing better things like tidal power, which can be relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing the ability to work on biofuels and not just from sort of corn and things raised in Iowa, which is actually not that great a biofuel, but from crops that are grown on, you know, even marine crops. And so the more we start to look at this, the more we're discovering that it's actually not that hard technologically to get something done. The problem is, as we talked about before with the G8, we're just not seeing leadership in every place where we'd like to see it. And
yeah,
so we're ready to start, but we're going to need a little more push.
We're going to take a break here, and when we return, I want to focus on trying to develop new fuel systems that are either carbon-free or at least reduced carbon and reduce emissions, and how this plays into the free market system, to the capitalist enterprise structures. And there is some pushback on that from some progressives on the green side. We'll talk with that with Dan Kamen about that as we continue. Lines are open if you would like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And if you ever have a chance to go to the British Virgin Islands, do not turn it down. It's one of the most beautiful spots on Earth. And you should go to Peter Island, which is just across the sea there from Virgin Gorda. It's not named after me, but the big surprise when we went ashore there, it's owned by the Amway Corporation of Michigan. And I always wanted to be a downstream Double Diamond direct distributor and win a free trip to Peter Island. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
If you'd like to see The Police, Bon Jovi, Melissa Etheridge, John Mayer, and more, tune in this Sunday at 10 a.m. when Rock Rollin' Real Estate talks with Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings. Jim will be highlighting the power of compounding your real estate investments. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
My home by the sea is now actually, well, right at the beachfront. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley, and my interest was spiked by this article in the New Yorker, May 14th edition. And, Dan, I'd like you to respond to some critical comments that appeared in the article. And I'd like to lump together what I'm about to describe, some of the criticisms of Richard Branson, with some of the criticisms that have been leveled at the University of California system for its new partnership with British Petroleum. So let me read these comments, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. The mere concept of mixing philanthropy with profit infuriates many environmental activists. Branson's motives have been questioned almost as often as his generosity has been praised. Here's a quote. And then Richard Branson came along with his environmental windfall of $3 billion and his promise to clean up global transport, Keith Farnish wrote on his Earth blog not long ago. Farnish described it as a wonderfully spun PR stunt that will have almost no effect on the emission of greenhouse gases. Tony Juniper, Friends of the Earth, said, Branson is not embarking on a program of philanthropy here and giving away money to good causes. What he is doing is reinvesting money from his business into a different kind of business for the future. Now, I actually am fairly comfortable with capitalism. It's got problems and excesses and all that. But talk a little bit about how you are traversing this very sensitive turf between academia and business and the kinds of criticisms that that draws from some purists.
Well, I think there's a whole bunch of things going on in that. I mean, one is that there's a lot of ways to do bad, and we've discovered a lot of them with our not just fossil fuel economy, but the ways in which we put profits over people time and time again. So there's no question that there's a lot of ways that you can sort of think about any investment in a new technology as a way that's not likely to make things more equitable, the environment better off, etc. But at the same time, what we have not done is to explore what are the positive things we could do. We have a pretty long history of investing in money and research and not requiring it to get into action. We have some pretty serious philanthropists out there who have done some very good, but many things that get examined by the sort of philanthropic world don't get into practice. And they don't get into practice because people aren't engaged with, committed to making them real. And we're going to need a lot more resources, not just money, but people's time and innovative cities willing to make things happen and governments willing to make things changed than we have resources for now. So just thinking we can do these things with philanthropic interest, I think is not right, not because there's not enough money, but because we need to affect the economy in some fundamental ways. No one's ever thought of it before, but what it would take to to decarbonize the economy, to get 80% of our carbon out of the system. That's going to require some fundamental changes, and some of those are not going to be easy, and we're going to have to do more than just, you know, buying a Prius and being happy that our vehicle is more efficient. We're going to have to fundamentally change.
There are now, Dan, by the way, there are now 1 million Prius owners in the country. They just passed that benchmark this week.
And it's a great start. And 5 years ago, well, 6 years ago, before the Priuses got on the market, people were bemoaning the fact that, you know, people like me would go to Washington, D.C., and we'd argue with the Republicans, and we would either win or lose on a given day. And what that meant was that we increased the vehicle efficiency standard by 1%, or we lost and it went down by 1%. So it was a battle of incrementalism going nowhere. Prius comes along, and it opens the door to vehicles that are twice as efficient. And then you take that Prius, and you make it not just a hybrid, but you make it a plug-in hybrid, so that in places where the grid is relatively green, like California, we can use nighttime electricity, often clean electricity, to make the vehicle running mainly off battery, off electricity, with no urban emissions, which means, of course, better air quality. And then if you replace the gasoline in your gas tank, which is now your backup system, it's not your primary because you run off the battery, and you're putting clean ethanol, usually not corn ethanol, but a cellulosic flavor, into that tank, you've suddenly gone from a vehicle that was getting 25 or 30 miles a gallon before all this happened, and now that's a vehicle getting a couple hundred miles per gallon. So when people like to say blithely, oh, I'm looking for the disruptive technology, well, that is one. I mean, that's a change that really does alter the system. And we're going to need those kinds of changes. And I don't believe that we can do those without some people taking a real innovative and entrepreneurial leadership position like Richard Branson. Unfortunately, my concern is that we need a lot more Richard Bransons. And we also need people who don't make their second billion off of clean energy. It's kind of easy to get press and attention when you're already a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But we need people who make their first billion off of clean energy to get these things mainstream. And as neat as what Richard is doing, we need people who, you know, they were the garage, they were the Bill Gates and Paul Allen in their garage in Albuquerque, and their first innovation is in green. And then we'll really have a system that we can build around. Right now we don't. Right now green is still an interesting topical area, but it's a bit player. And we've got to make it a mainstream area. And that's why I think what Richard's doing is so important.
Dan, before we went on the air, I mentioned that while I do have some questions about UC's partnership with British Petroleum, that I'm more comfortable with that than their continuing to manage the nuclear weapons labs in Livermore and Los Alamos. What safeguards are in place from your point of view to protect the academics from being exploited and also to protect the public from having any patented technologies that are developed grabbed by the industrial partners?
Right, so I should back up for a sec. So the BP deal is British Petroleum selected UC Berkeley and its partners, University of Illinois and Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, to work on biofuels. And we wrote the proposal. The proposal was really quite general. It outlines a number of research areas that we want to look at. And the definition of what's a better biofuel varies. A very linear sort of crop geneticist might view better as a plant that grows more, so it's more biomass. Chemical engineer might view it as one that has a higher conversion efficiency of that biomass into ethanol. My view is very much what I consider sort of a whole systems one, where better to me also includes the social aspects of these biofuels. And so the BP deal was written in a way that looks just like the other IP deals that campus has, meaning that work done by Berkeley and Illinois and LBL scientists is the property of the university. It's just like this for everything else we do.
Mm-hmm.
And work done by BP is their property. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that it's just as simple as that, because no one's ever received a $500 million grant before, not in one lump sum like this. And so there is going to be an impact. But I think that the impact is largely one that is Berkeley's to manage. We could certainly mess it up, and I suspect there'll be some screw-ups. But on the other hand, this is a 10-year project. It's not one where they said, here's the money, you've got 24 months to get us a better biofuel or else the deal's over. The time frame that BP adopted is kind of the academic working one. 10 years is kind of two graduate student lifestyle, you know, two PhDs.
And, Dan, I'm sorry I'm out of time. I'm going to have to stop there. But
got it.
I appreciate you joining us today. I certainly learned a lot, and I'd love to talk with you again.
It's a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Dan Kammen with a K, K-A-M-M-E-N, from the University of California at Berkeley. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The judge in the Paris Hilton case says releasing her was wrong.
He ruled that he was remanding Ms. Hilton to the sheriff's custody to serve the remainder of her sentence.
Joint Chiefs Chairman Peter Pace will not be nominated for another term.
There was the very real prospect the process would be quite contentious.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The young woman who appeared in court today was not the Paris Hilton who posed for a glamour mugshot. This Paris Hilton was disheveled, no makeup, but plenty of tears. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports the judge who originally sentenced Hilton ruled she has to complete that sentence behind bars.
When Paris Hilton heard the judge announce that she was being sent back to jail, she began instantly to cry. She stood up, looked back at her mother, Kathy, who was in the courtroom, said, "Mom, Mom, it's not right." She screamed louder, "Mom, Mom." And there was a very loud, even a frightening scream, as you would say, from Paris Hilton as she was finally led away from the courtroom.
Her attorney reportedly plans to appeal, but for now she's back in the custody of Sheriff Lee Baca, who just called a news conference to defend his decision to release Paris Hilton to home confinement early yesterday. Baca says she has severe medical problems.
The sheriff's and county medical staff evaluated her increasing deterioration and provided me with a report upon Ms. Hilton's approval. This is the report. You're not going to get a copy of it. But this is the evidence that this lady has some severe problems.
The sheriff says jailers were not told that before Hilton arrived, she was on medication. Now this.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix Pantoprazole Sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms, too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Marine General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has become a political casualty of the Iraq War. It was announced today that he will not be nominated for a second term. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the story.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he wanted to nominate Pace to another two-year term as chairman. But with anger growing on Capitol Hill among both Republicans and Democrats, Gates decided the Senate confirmation hearing would have turned into a war of its own.
There would be a confirmation process that would not be in the best interest of the country.
Pace, who often boasted of being joined at the hip with former Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, was one of the original architects of the Iraq War plan.
To replace Pace, Secretary Gates is nominating Admiral Mike Mullen, the Chief of Naval Operations. The president's European tour took him from Germany to Poland to Italy today, but a lot of his attention was focused on Washington, where the immigration bill stalled in the Senate last night. Mr. Bush is mounting a campaign to revive it. He spoke by phone with key Republican senators and made the bill the focus of his Saturday radio address.
I urge Senator Reid to act quickly to bring this bill back to the Senate floor for a vote, and I urge senators from both parties to support it.
Next week, he'll make a personal appeal on Capitol Hill. After months of delay, Space Shuttle Atlantis is poised for liftoff in about half an hour. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
A hailstorm put about 2,500 dings into the fuel tank's outer skin. NASA head Michael Griffin says it was a lot to fix.
We had to invent the method for doing it. We had to invent the test to verify it. But we did, and it passed.
Now, the wait may be longer, though, because of rain and fog at the shuttle's overseas emergency landing sites. The seven astronauts include Clay Anderson, headed for 6 months on the International Space Station.
I had a dream to be an astronaut, but I also had a pretty good realization that the odds were really against me to be able to do that.
He may just have to wait another day. Bill?
You can relax if you're waiting on a passport for that trip to Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, or Bermuda. The government has suspended the new passport requirement for those destinations because there's such a huge backlog of passport applications. Millions of people are waiting right now. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
For my kids, the backyard is their playroom. Too bad they were sharing it with nasty bugs. So I turned to Ortho. With Ortho Bug Be Gone Max, I can wipe out ants, fleas, and ticks and keep them away for 3 whole months. And now my kids don't have to share their playroom with dangerous bugs.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your lawn from bugs with Ortho Bug Be Gone Max. Follow directions on label.
There are...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour is dedicated to our veterans, especially those who aren't doing so well. The first day of a stand-down for veterans that's been put together by some great folks in the Eureka area, veteran activists who are reaching out to their brothers and some sisters to offer a helping hand at a difficult time. And we learned in a recent interview with the director of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans that there are a large number of stand-downs being organized around the country this year. Partly because the need is so great, and because many veterans of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam recognize that brothers and sisters are going to be coming home from Iraq, indeed many have already, who are traumatized, who have difficulty adjusting and re-entering, and whose lives have significantly changed. And it's a major challenge that many of these people face. Carl Jung is a longtime caller and contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show. And when he told me about this event, we tried to put together a live broadcast. And I wish I could be with you at the fairgrounds in Ferndale today. But initially what we found out is we couldn't put a fancy phone line in there to do a remote broadcast. And just a few hours ago, a Caltrans crew down the road, I guess in Garberville, blew out a phone line, and the landline that you have there, Carl, I guess isn't working either. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Well,
but we're surviving quite well.
Well, sure. That's a trivial matter. And tell me a little bit about the reaction you're getting. This is an event that is open only to veterans. It's not a county fair for the public. This is for people who want to connect with other vets and, more importantly, connect with resources that can help them regain control of their lives.
That's correct. I'm talking about response. My gosh, I am so impressed. 120 veterans have already walked through our gate and received assistance today, many of which are staying with us tonight. It's been outstanding. You know, and Peter, you know, you don't like people saying thank you, but I'm going to, on behalf of all the veterans that you've helped us reach with doing this stand-up.
I'm happy to assist, and Carl, you know, I couldn't do anything if you hadn't organized the event, and with your colleague Kim Hall and David Stancliffe and the others who you've drawn together today, I'm happy to spend the time to shine a light on the work you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's talk about feeling great and just helping out your mankind and everything else. You know, I wish we could open this up to everybody, you know, that was out there, had problems or whatever the case may be, but we can't. The budgeting issue is an issue that we want to really focus on just dealing with the vet issue right now. And, it's only 3 days. But when you have people coming in from Vietnam War period, the Korea War, World War II vets are still coming to these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all coming in either for the camaraderie and getting maybe they got an old disability from World War II that maybe should be upgraded a little bit because got a heck of a lot worse, but he didn't want to file for a disability claim because he wanted a more deserving vet to get it besides him.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we see these sacrifices all the time amongst veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And my firm belief is, though, is you file every claim you can for every disability you can, and maybe this next time around we have a war somewhere, we look at the real impact and the cost of those wars.
Well, and Carl, when you talk about World War II vets, even if they were only 20 when they left the service, those are individuals who are easily into their 80s, and that's an important marker. The people who are being wounded or, can we say, damaged, even if they're not physically wounded, in Iraq and Afghanistan right now will be a part of our population and our communities for another 50 or 60 years. And this is a tremendous responsibility, and I believe that because of the way this war and occupation have been managed, that most Americans don't feel any connection to the problems of returning vets.
You know, I normally always agree with you on a lot of these things. I think people are beginning to see. I think they realize what's gone on in this country. They don't want the same thing repeating again that we had in Vietnam, where you have a situation where you have troops returning in a war they rightly, honorably wanted to serve their country to preserve their freedom. And sometimes it gets a little tangled up with the politics.
Yeah.
And you know what? It didn't happen this time. What's happening is they say, hey, everybody in this country was impacted by the Vietnam War in one way or another. And that changed the perception towards a lot of the things, what we do and how we do them and where we're going. I think where this country is going right now is they're looking at this and they're going like, now we're getting more visible. Now that ugly little thing we used to hide away for decades is coming out now and saying, hey, these are real live veterans, 85% of which they're out in the streets, have honorable discharges. And something went terribly wrong when they got back.
Carl, the last time they did a census of the homeless in San Francisco, something like 40% of them were veterans, and the lion's share of those were Vietnam vets. And I don't know how many of them were honorably or dishonorably discharged, but I have to believe that most of them were honorably discharged.
It really is. You know, a lot of these guys tell me they really wanted to go back to Vietnam or something like that rather than get assigned to a base somewhere in the U.S. It's just there was no transition for these guys.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's becoming more visible, and I think people would love to do more, but if they had the guidance to do it on what to do. They want to make, you know, of all people to slam in this country, and this country slams lots of different types of people sometimes, but its own veterans coming back from Iraq, and they initially weren't getting a lot of the care and the protection they needed to do their jobs and to come back and survive in this country. I mean, the atrocities for the pay, reserves not being paid, so they could pay their medical bills for treatments they were getting at VA hospitals.
Right.
And things like this are in the DOD facilities.
Mm-hmm.
We can go on for hours about this, but the thing is, on the other end, I remain optimistic.
Yeah.
We have folks like you that, you know, did your thing during the Vietnam War, and that's cool. I'm good with all that. Where I'm going with all this is that you have seen beyond all the political crap and said, hey, these are our veterans, damn it. Let's do something about it.
Yeah. We're talking with Carl Young. He is at the first day of the stand down in Humboldt County at the fairgrounds in Ferndale. And, Carl, first of all, talk about transportation. I understand there are some vans that are running so that if vets who don't have cars or access to vehicles want to come to the stand down, they can grab a ride. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do a little, if we can get back to that, because we have a band running from the VA clinic.
Okay.
I think it's about every half hour until like 5 or 6 tonight.
All right, well, we'll go to a break in a couple of minutes so you can get the latest details and bring that to us after the next break. So I've got about 2 minutes here. Give us a quick tour of what is there at the fairgrounds and what a veteran will find if he or she joins you for the stand down.
Sure, it would be great. We have an area that we have for security, for their protection. We check them over real quick to make sure there's no contraband, and we set it aside to get the stuff back when they're done. There are no weapons allowed, no confrontations allowed, anything. And there's some guidelines and rules, and they all agree with them. Mm-hmm. They're just glad to be here. And so basically we have our first sweat lodge set up by one of our tribes here that all veterans are invited to come into and experience the what happens with the sweat lodge. And it's facing over the east and everything else. It's really, really well done. We also have campsites for a lot of those guys that don't want to sleep inside of a building. They're sleeping outside. We actually have tents for them to sleep outside, and they prefer to do that. Then you come in and you check in, and you've met with a counselor. And basically the counselor sits down with you and says, let's talk about some of the issues going on, and we sort of give them some directions about some services they may want to check out, where to get the food, where to rest, things like that. Then you walk into the main building here, and we have just, I would say, at least 30 agencies represented or nonprofits geared towards getting them into programs, into homeless shelters if they want to do that, getting their credit taken care of, a little hooked up with the court system there in case they've got some issues going on with that. So we're well represented in that area. And then we have, our sleeping areas and things like that.
And what about accessing the Veterans Administration, people who maybe do pensions but don't know how to track them down?
You know, this has been so awesome. So I know sometimes the VA gets hit pretty hard on some of the things they do, and I tell you, it's not from local control issues. It's from the top where the problems are. But the Redwood Vet Center here that takes care of our PTSD folks and those gals that have sexual trauma while in the military, limited staff. They're doing as best they can. They're getting more staff. They're getting better funding. And they're doing an excellent job. They're going to all the reservations. They're talking to a lot of veterans out here and getting them into PTSD programs. So we're pulling some guys that have been on the streets for, 20, 30 years to, hey, I just got back from Iraq a little while ago. And so that pulls them all in there. And the medical care, if they're eligible, they get 2 years of free medical care if they are an Iraqi or Afghanistan combat veteran. 2 years free medical care. No questions asked. You just sign up for it, you get it. There are other veterans that have disabilities that need to file for them, and there's people here to show them how to file for a claim and to discuss secondary injuries, things like this, things that start looking out for in case you ever start seeing your own flashbacks or going through some of the PTSD experiences that are out there. And, how to recognize these things in a very casual, open type of thing, and also talking to folks your own age group that serve in the same conflicts about how their lives are going, 5, 10 years after the fact, or a year or two, or 30 years, and how they've grown together in different directions but never really knew each other until now, and that connection is there. So we have a lot of that going on also.
Great. That's Carl Young, and he is speaking to us live from the stand down at the Ferndale Fairgrounds, the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale, California. And as we continue this hour, up next we're going to talk with Mary Baker, who handles issues related to mental health and PTSD. Also, Ben Falwell from the Vets Resource Center will talk to us in the next 10 or 15 minutes. And a little bit later, Jody Burgess from the Veterans Administration. And David Stancliffe is one of the volunteers there with Carl. And he is going to help us talk to a couple of veterans who have arrived there for the stand down in the Eureka area today. And so, Carl, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk with you briefly about the transportation issues. And then if you can have Mary Baker standing by, we'll talk to her as soon as we take care of that with you.
Thank you, sir.
Got it? Okay. That's coming up next. And if you'd like to call in and offer your support for the stand down, maybe you're a veteran and you'd like to offer some solidarity, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. From San Francisco, this is Peter B. Collins.
9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, everybody. Let's take a look at Friday traffic, and happy Friday to you, because you probably need to hear it. All right, we're going to talk about, well, about Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, southbound of the Redwood Estates. Three-vehicle crash cleared to the right shoulder. We have debris in the lanes there. Santa Cruz Mountains, again, northbound 17 after Glenwood Drive. Two vehicles cleared to the right shoulder. So we had two separate crashes, one southbound, one northbound, obviously. Let's take a look at, Carmel Valley, the Valley, what are they saying here? It's West Carmel Valley Road at Rancho roads slow traffic. We have construction on a blind curb that is causing slow traffic in the area. Highway 1 southbound before 41st, that's in Capitola, a two-vehicle crash blocking the left lane. This report brought to you by your genuine Toyota service department's Toyota owners through June 1st. Visit your Toyota service center for qualifying new purchase.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. We're giving you live coverage of the Veterans Stand Down that is underway this weekend in Humboldt County, California. And I want to give a shout out to the great radio station KGOE 1480, a big supporter of this effort. And I want to thank Tom Seaborn and others. We had hoped to bring you a live broadcast from the fairgrounds in Ferndale today, but we weren't able to work out the technical issues. So we're talking on cell phones and doing quite nicely. Thank you. Carl Young remains with us. He's one of the organizers of this event. And Carl, why don't you give us a quick rundown on the transportation?
Okay. What I have here is Ms. Kim Hall, who has a lot more knowledge about that than I do, who's the executive director of our stand down this year.
Great.
If I can hand the phone to her real quick, she'll give it to you.
Go right ahead. And thank you, Carl.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Kim Hall joins us now. Kim, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you.
My pleasure. And give us a quick rundown on the transportation options for veterans who don't have a car or a friend with a car.
All right. Well, if you're coming out of Eureka, the Department of Veterans Affairs is running a van from 8th and E Street, which is right across from the Veterans Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They run that every other hour straight into Ferndale here at the fairgrounds. And if you're coming from the Hoopla area, Willow Creek area, Orleans, Wichita, KT Net is picking up there and driving all the way into the fairgrounds tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. If you're coming from Del Norte, the Veterans Service Office is picking up there at the, I believe it's the county office there in Del Norte.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to drive into the fairgrounds tomorrow. And from Southern Humboldt, we have the Quail coming out of Garberville into the fairgrounds.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. Well, thanks for that rundown. And as long as we have you, Kim, I wanted to talk to you at some point anyway.
Okay.
Give us a sense of the group that has put this together. And just, you know, aside from the stand down, what some of your ongoing activities are.
The group that put this together is amazing. I don't know if you know, but I started this as an internship for the Masters in Social Work at Humboldt State.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, 2 years ago that we had a field placement. And I've been working with veterans for about 15 years. I work at Humboldt State with Veterans Enrollment Services. And we decided that it was time to have a stand-down. We've been talking about it for a long time. So I pulled together the veterans agency leaders, some community leaders, veterans organization leaders, and some veterans. And we got together and we decided on who was going to coordinate what. And we pulled off our first stand-down in a six-month period.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, and there appears to be some contagion. Now, I don't know that you invented the concept, but I'm looking at the website of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and people can access it at nchv.org. And there is a whole list of stand-downs all across the country that started in February and go all the way through November and even one at Christmas time in Los Angeles.
That's right. The concept of stand-down was started by two Vietnam vets back in the 1980s in San Diego, and it was a kind of the take-it-to-the-streets concept. The vets weren't coming in. There was a huge distrust with the system, and so they gathered up some food and supplies, and they took it to the streets. And it became so popular that they started the stand-down, basically. And they, most of the time you're going to see it as a tent city, and they hold it in fairgrounds and on school lawns
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And the whole idea behind it is that you provide a three-day event that has all the services that you can think of that might, you know, vets might be eligible for. And for us, we have a huge barrier with transportation. So we, of course, put a lot of energy into just trying to transport vets to the fairgrounds so that they can access whatever services we have here.
Yeah. And when they arrive, Carl ran it down for us, there's just a whole range. More than 30 different agencies are represented. And so this is a one-stop situation where a veteran with multiple issues can come in, find out about pensions, find out about health care, find out about transitional housing or maybe permanent housing, maybe access some job training. And I just think that this is fabulous. And what makes it really sensible to me, Kim, is that it's by veterans. It's designed by them. And so this has the greatest chance of really connecting and delivering for the vets who need it the most.
You bet. The camaraderie out here is amazing. The vets from all different services, Marines, Armies, you name it, they're all together talking about their different stories, their experiences, and that includes their experiences with the Department of VA or whatever system they're dealing with. And between all that knowledge that you have and plus the 30 or so odd service providers we have, it's encompassing. You get caught up in the atmosphere, and folks can access things that it would take them days to access if they were running around, say, Eureka.
Right. Now, Kim, we're running up against a break here. Is there a phone number that people who can't attend the stand down or to pass along to vets maybe outside of our signal area that they can call and get in touch with you next week?
Next week, the best bet would be to call the Redwood Vet Center.
Mm-hmm.
844-8271.
Kim, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us. Next, I'd like to talk to Mary Baker, if you can get her to the phone.
All right, here she comes.
Okay, it'll be about 4 minutes. Tell her to stand by.
Thank you.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're talking about our veterans. Are they getting the very best as they deserve? I don't think so.
Nature's waiting you. Something's wrong. Nature's waiting you. In the sun. Nature's way of saving you. Nature's way of retrieving you.
A group of veterans in Humboldt County have gathered together to address the needs of their fellow vets. It's the Stand Down this weekend at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale. We'll return to the site there in just a moment, but Dave from Eureka wanted to add a comment. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, Peter. Is Carl on with us?
Not right now.
Oh, well, I wanted to share something with him, if I might, but also...
Well, hold on here. I think we actually, on the other end of the line here, we have Mary Baker, right?
Okay.
Right. Mary Baker
doing,
from
Mary?
The Redwood Vet Center.
All right.
Team leader.
Great. Mary, hold on just a second. Dave Goggin wanted to offer a comment, and then we'll come to you. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. It's events like this that make me very proud to be a part of the Humboldt chapter. Do some people have portable radios there now?
I don't know. Mary, are there any radios there at the Stand Down?
I think there are some, but I'm not sure where they're located at this time because I'm standing outside.
Well, if you have some people there, vets, that are benefiting from what is happening and some that say, what can I do to get involved, I want them to be aware that every Friday night, 5 p.m., in front of the county courthouse in Humboldt in Eureka, also in Arcata at the plaza, we have a demonstration to bring home the troops. And so... it's nothing. It's just stand there for an hour waving to people that seem to have come to love us and appreciate what we're doing.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for sharing that, and I hope that other vets will join you there.
Maybe a van will come up.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. Good to have you on the air today. Now we turn to Mary, and again, she is at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds. It's in Ferndale. I want to make it clear that this is not a festival or a carnival, and the public is not invited. Veterans are invited. And, Mary, you work with the Redwood Vet Center. Tell us a little bit about the kinds of mental health issues, including post-traumatic stress disorder, that vets show up with at your center.
At our center, we are a readjustment counseling service for combat veterans and their families. We work with issues related to post-traumatic stress disorder, secondary PTSD for family members. We also provide military sexual trauma counseling for men and women who have served in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And we have PTSD support groups. We have women veteran groups. We have employment groups to help veterans who are struggling with employment issues to help them find jobs, and that's in conjunction with the North Coast Veterans Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
So we deal with anything related to trauma issues.
And give us a sense of the number of clients that you serve in a given year.
Let's see, I've been at the Vet Center for 2 years now, and we have done intakes for new veterans, 500 and 73 in that two-year period. That's just the new veterans. We have three counselors, and we're pretty busy, but we're always open to taking in new veterans whenever they walk through the door. So we see probably about visits well over 2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, give us just a quick sketch. If I'm a veteran and I'm in need of, let's say, some counseling services to help with PTSD or maybe to help my family understand me and deal with the ongoing issues, do I come in and what kind of charges are involved? How much of this is subsidized either by the Veterans Administration or by state and county agencies?
It's it's all federally funded. We bill for nothing that we do. Everything that we do with our combat veterans is completely free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for their families as well.
All right. And then what do you ask in return from the veterans? Because since you're not charging them, you probably want ways to get them to commit to being involved and following through.
We respect the choices that the veterans make for themselves. We hope that they will follow through, move forward, and live in the here and now rather than in the past. And we support them through the process of filing a claim for post-traumatic stress disorder, and our reward is when they receive that claim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what other services do you think we ought to mention so that veterans know that they're available through the Redwood Veterans Center?
Repeat that, please.
I'm just wondering if there's anything else, any other kinds of services that we haven't mentioned that veterans ought to know about that they can access through the Redwood Vet Center.
Pretty much just what I've mentioned, but we do a lot of, providing resources so they know where to go to get what they need. We also work with many of the veterans organizations in the community, such as the VFW, the DAV, the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the Korean War veterans. And many of those organizations are very generous to assist veterans when they need some financial assistance.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to get funding for a National Guard veteran who could not pay his tuition because the National Guard aren't given education benefits once they get out.
Hmm.
And so many of the service organizations provided a small amount of money to help that combat veteran with his tuition for school.
And for some of our listeners who may have a little extra cash, do you have a fund separate from the federal funds for the services you provide for some incidental or unusual situations that present where you want to try to help somebody out and a little cash is the best thing you can provide?
Oh, yes. Yes. We have really been blessed because we've had some people make some private donations to us, and we're able to give money for gasoline when we have a veteran, a homeless veteran going through. We've provided tents that we had to purchase ourselves before we got our distribution. We've provided food baskets. We've even had at Christmas, we have people who donate food baskets to us, and we make sure that they go to veterans in need.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So,
Mary,
if people send donations, we guarantee that they go only to the veterans
mm-hmm.
and their families. So that's a wonderful piece of the work that we do.
Great.
Well.
And, Mary, people can reach you at the Redwood Veterans Center at 707-444-8271. Is that the best number?
Yes, that is.
707-444-8271. Well, Mary, thank you very much. And if you wouldn't mind passing the phone over to Ben Falwell, I'd like to talk with Ben next.
Ben Fuel? Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank
I got
you.
Falwell. It's Fuel. We'll get that correct.
All right.
Okay, Mary, great
thank
to talk
you.
To you. And it's Ben Fuel. Pardon me. Ben, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Well, thank you.
And
glad to be here.
Tell me how you spell your last name, and I won't bungle it again.
Okay, the last name is spelled F, like in Frank, E-W-E-L-L.
Okay, great. Ben Fuel. And you're with the Veterans Resource Center. Tell us a little bit about the services that you offer for veterans in Humboldt County.
Well, we provide a couple of different services. We actually started our office back in 1993 with a grant from the Department of Labor that was for the Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, specifically targeting homeless veterans and their issues, and then trying to provide a variety of needs and get them back into the workforce. That was pretty successful. We also were able to get funding from another source called, at that time it was JTPA, now it's called the Workforce Investment Act, and we're using funds. In fact, we were just awarded some funds for a new project working specifically with recently separated veterans and other dislocated worker veterans. But we're trying to focus on those young men and women who have been involved in the Iraq, Afghanistan theater and trying to work with them to address issues, get them training so that they can transition back into a job here either in Humboldt County or elsewhere in California. And then the third major piece that we have is transitional housing. We do have a Victorian in Eureka that provides 12 beds of transitional housing for homeless veterans who are in our programs. And, in fact, I just yesterday received the RFQs from some architects for our starting work on a project we've been attempting to get off the ground for some years, and now it looks like it's going to come to fruition. And that is a space for our offices and 34 beds of transitional housing for homeless veterans. So we're active in a number of different areas providing service for veterans.
And, Ben, tell us, how much demand is there for those beds on almost a daily or weekly basis?
Well, we get calls every day, as a matter of fact. And there is a waiting list. There are several resources that are available in the community, but unfortunately, in this area, and I think in most areas, the number of veterans and, in fact, other homeless people who are there far outnumber the beds. And so we do have a waiting list. One of the things that is there about our program as well is it's not emergency housing. Since it's a transitional housing program, there are some criteria that have to be met. We do background investigations, psychological evaluations, things like that, to make sure that this is going to be an appropriate place for veterans to be.
Ben Fuel is with us from the Veterans Resource Center. He's live at the stand down at the the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale, and veterans are invited to come by for the stand down over this weekend. Now, Ben, you mentioned there a minute ago about returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan. Many average citizens feel like it really hasn't been 4 years since we invaded Iraq, 5 years since we launched the assault on Afghanistan. What percentage of the clients you're seeing are from these very recent conflicts?
Well, actually, it's interesting. That number is growing. I would say percentage-wise, probably at this point about 35% to 40%.
Really?
Yeah, it's getting close. I mean, we're seeing more and more young men and young women, and the numbers aren't as large, of course, in terms of the folks that were involved in the Vietnam conflict or Korea at this point, but there is a fair number of these young people who are coming back and who do need our services.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that is a statistic that will surprise many of our listeners who aren't connected to the veterans community.
Probably will, and in fact, to be honest, it kind of surprised me. But that's what we're beginning to see, and there are issues. I don't know if some of the other folks that you have talked about have addressed at all the fact that there are a number of different issues that are affecting these younger veterans, many of them very similar to veterans of other eras, but I think that probably the press has, looked at some of the things that are going on. I will say this, that there are a number of systems in place at this point that were not there, for example, when I came back from Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
that we're very happy that are there now so that we can help provide services to these returning veterans.
Yeah. Ben, anything you'd like to add?
Just that we're really happy to be here today. I think you probably mentioned to your listeners this is the second annual stand-down that we're having here in Humboldt County.
It is.
The first year was, we thought, very successful. This year I think it's going to be even more successful, and we're just happy to be able to have this opportunity to reach out not only to the veterans in the community, but to the community at large. And the support we've had has been tremendous, and we really appreciate it.
And Ben Fuel, give us a phone number for the Veterans Resource Center.
Sure. It's area code 707-442-4322.
Got it. Thank
you. Excuse me. You know what?
Yep. That's your home phone?
4332, not 4322.
I have 4332. Okay, I got it right here. I'm going to say it again. 707-442-4332.
That's correct.
707-442-4332. Ben, we're going to take a break here. If you could track down Jody Burgess from the Veterans Administration, that's who I'm hoping to talk with next.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't believe Jody is here. Can I give you back to Dave Standcliffe?
Yeah, give us to Dave and we'll make a plan during the break here. Thanks.
That sounds good.
Good to talk to you, Ben.
Thank you.
More coming up live from the Eureka area at the Ferndale Fairgrounds of Humboldt County. If you have a question or a comment or a shout-out for veterans, you can bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you heard the show weekdays from noon to 2 on KRXA 540?
The following is a test of the emergency alert system in accordance with regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. This station is testing its emergency alert system equipment. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. We now return you to regular programming.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic and CHP talking about a crash right now as we update our computer. Carmel Valley, West Carmel Valley Road at Laurel's Grade, a disabled vehicle. It's a stall blocking the eastbound lanes. Looks like Santa Cruz Highway 17 northbound at Ocean Street. We have cement blocking the right lane there, and vehicles are swerving to avoid that debris as we speak. Also want to mention... let's see what else we got going on. Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17 at Redwood Estates. Three-vehicle crash has been cleared to City Street, so that is good news. Also want to mention Scotts Valley, Highway 17 between Crescent Drive and Vine Hill. Construction will start Sunday night. Northbound work will run from Sunday, 9 p.m. until 4:30 in the morning, so be advised there. Also want to mention Hollister, 152 at 156. We have a crash there.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. This one is called Time is the Avenger.
Nobody's perfect, not even a perfect stranger. Oh, what a gal, she was such a perfect stranger. And you're the best in your field. Your girls in desk and leather chair. Cause the time is on your side. Not time, the Avenger.
Time has not been too kind to many of our veterans from World War II through Korea, Vietnam, and as we've just heard, 30% of the veterans presenting themselves for services related to homelessness are from Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm really pleased that veterans in Humboldt County have gathered together for their second annual Stand Down. It's underway this weekend at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale. And it's open to veterans only, so if you know somebody who could benefit from the Stand Down, lots of services are provided there to help connect vets with them. Feel free to pass the word and invite them to come over. We're joined now by David Stancliffe, who is with the Redwood Vets. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
Tell me a little bit about your involvement and what you see as the biggest needs of veterans in Humboldt County.
Well, first off, my involvement is I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I am 100% service connected with PTSD. And a couple of years back, I kind of had a, you might say, an epiphany in my life and came out of my shell when my younger brother died of a heart attack. And I got involved with the veterans, North Coast veterans along here, including the Veterans Resource Center and the Redwoods Veterans Center. And someone came up, and her name Kim Hall, of course, said, you know, we're going to do a stand down. I said, well, what is a stand down? I know it's a military term, but when she told me about it, I just said, you know what, this is something that I want to volunteer for because I really have a heart for veterans. And so it's been a good thing. Now, as far as our needs go up here, I'm really concerned in terms of the younger fellows that are coming back here facing PTSD. You know, I know that's kind of a personal issue to me, but I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's I think, a big concern. You know, I really do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm glad you're aware of that because, you know, there is at least an impression that many of us have that some vets just try to tough through it and that they don't want to address the emotional or psychological issues because it undercuts their sense of manhood or virility. And it's very important to come to grips with them and to identify, number one, when you need help, and number two, what kind of help is available. So, Dave, thank you for that. And if you could, pass the phone to John Bartlett, a vet who's there with you. I'd like to talk with him.
Oh, okay. Here he is.
Okay, thank you. That's David Stancliffe.
Hello.
John Bartlett, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Welcome here.
Well, thanks for talking with us. Tell us a little bit about your military service.
I did 18 months in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
That's two tours. Other than that, you know, I don't know what there is to say or what, you know, I just spent two tours over there and came back. I'm PTSD also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, I'm here talking to these guys, and I think this is a great thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's, other than that, you know, whatever you want to ask.
Okay, John. Well, what I'd like to ask is if your experience with PTSD has led you to some rocky times, and who you were able to turn to when you hit the rough patches.
Well, I went to, I did go through some rocky times with it. And turning to people, I turned to the VA a few times, and it mostly ended up being private organizations such as these folks here.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little more concerned because most of them have gone through it, you know, and they know what it's all about, and they don't ask questions. They don't look down their noses at you, and they treat you like a human being.
Yeah. And in your own life, do you have a family? Have you been able to stay connected?
No, I don't. I'm single.
Uh-huh.
As far as the immediate family, my parents have both passed away.
I see.
But I've been in some relationships, but they don't work too well.
Yeah. And what's your work and living situation presently, John?
Well, I'm living in a recreational vehicle, moving from spot to spot.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
And what kind of work do you do, and how often do you get work?
Well, I'm on disability.
I see.
Yeah, to SSI because dealing with VA hasn't worked out too good so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. And just give me a sense of, is this the best you're able to do, or do you feel that that with a little help or some support from others, you could kind of break through to a next level?
Well, I just turned 59, and, I've talked to a few people here that have given me information that I hadn't had before. Let's put it this way, in some cases, you weren't given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into this over the radio, but these guys here,
you know, they've given me information as to who to turn to and what to do and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I do believe that this is a heads up situation, you know, and it's and I should, you know, I believe that there should be more veterans involved in this, so the word should be gotten out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard about this, I thought, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
This is really great. I mean, because it's just, there's things here that you don't get through the mainstream.
Right. Well, John Bartlett, thank you for talking with us today. I wish you all the best, and I hope that there at the Stand Down you can find some of the things that could help make your life a little better.
All right. Thank you.
And thanks. Thank you for your service. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for talking to us.
You bet. My pleasure. And who do we, is this Carl?
No. Would you like Carl?
You know, I'm out of time here, Dave, so if you would, just give my best to everybody there. I want to mention once again that the Stand Down continues in Ferndale at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds. Get yourself there or access the transportation we talked about a little bit earlier. And the Redwood Veterans Center is at 707-494-8271. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank Carl Young and the vets for this hour.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis.
Atlantis, with its crew of seven, got off the ground in a perfect launch 22 minutes ago. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live.
Well, launch director Mike Leinbach was no doubt thinking about the three-month delay when he wished good luck to Commander Rick Sterkow.
It took us a little while to get to this point, but the ship's in great shape. It was a beautiful weather day for you out there, so good luck and Godspeed, and we'll see you back here in about 12 days or so.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of the entire crew, I'd like to express our appreciation to the team.
Launch into clear blue skies was breathtaking. TV pictures didn't show any problems with the fuel tank that was fixed after being dented and dinged from a hailstorm. Atlantis will deliver a new addition and a new astronaut to the International Space Station, Bill.
Paris Hilton was taken from the courtroom in tears, ordered back to jail by the sentencing judge who wasn't consulted before she was released to home confinement early yesterday. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the latest.
In his first public comments, L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca defended his move, allowing Paris Hilton to leave jail. Baca said Hilton is a troubled woman beset by psychological problems, and he said what he did was based on what he was told by jail doctors.
This is the report. Not going to get a copy of it, but this is the evidence that this lady has some severe problems.
Hilton is now being held at a different facility where she is undergoing a psychological examination. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The sheriff says the plan now is to have Hilton complete 23 days of her sentence. Peter Pace is being passed over for a second term as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he wanted to renominate the Marine General, but Pace is so closely linked to the Iraq War that it's politically impossible.
I concluded that because General Pace has served as chairman and vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff for the last 6 years, the focus of his confirmation process would have been on the past rather than the future.
So instead, he's nominating the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Mike Mullen. The White House says President Bush has the highest respect for General Pace and only reluctantly agreed that he can't stay on. An FAA computer problem and thunderstorms have combined to cause major airline delays in the east. CBS's Sharon Middleman says, tell me about it.
My flight to Chicago right now is 3 hours late, and American Airlines says we will be sitting on the tarmac for at least another hour and a half before we depart. The computer malfunction had a huge domino effect. Cancellations all over the board and nowhere to put all those passengers. This flight alone had a standby list of 47. And in some cases, those who were delayed might not be getting out of LaGuardia for at least another 24 hours.
The market had a better day today. The Dow up 157 points to close the week at 13,424. The Nasdaq gained 32 points to close at 2573. This is CBS News.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
It didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy can put breast cancer into remission. After that, new research says a woman can improve her long-term prognosis with a common-sense lifestyle.
A healthy diet and exercise each can help breast cancer survivors survive longer. In a study of nearly 1,500 women in the Journal of Clinical Oncology...
If you ate 5 fruits and vegetables a day, there was a weak effect. If you exercised 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week, there was a weak impact from that.
But together, they have a huge effect, says University of California researcher John Pierce.
It looks like it's a 50% reduction in mortality.
And in a surprising finding, this prevention benefit even applies to women who are obese. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A plane carrying 2 donor lungs for a man in need of a transplant went down in Lake Michigan Monday shortly after takeoff from Milwaukee. But doctors at the University of Michigan were able to locate a second set of lungs. The patient is now recovering after 7 hours of surgery. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix, pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Every week at this time, we spend an hour with his Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We call him Mr. Election Protection.
Well, I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am
stuck in the middle with you.
I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard.
We've got a lot to talk about with Brad this hour, and at this very moment, his fingers are flying over the keyboard as he blogs a breaking story. I don't even know what it is yet, but I've promised to give him 2 more minutes, and then we'll bring him on the air, and he will dish what he has for us. In the meantime, can I pacify you with a little Paris Hilton update? I have to say that on this program, and when I sat in this week for Tom Hartman, I cringed, expecting somebody to call up and demand to talk about this, and no one had the poor taste to do so. But Brad Friedman has a great sense of humor, and in recapping Friday's court hearing, where Paris Hilton first tried to appear by speakerphone, and then was, picked up by the cops and delivered to the courtroom. She then left screaming and crying. She was escorted from the courtroom, sent back to jail after a judge ruled she must serve her entire 45-day sentence behind bars and not with an electronic leash in her Hollywood Hills home. "It's not right," shouted Paris, who violated her parole in a reckless driving case. "Mom! Mom!" she cried out. As the final pitch was made for Hilton's further incarceration, her entire body began trembling. She clutched a ball of tissue and tears ran down her face. The judge then announced the defendant is remanded to county jail to serve the remainder of her 45-day sentence. And it turns out it was the sheriff, Lee Baca, who popped her out, and he's offered a lame defense of celebrities. And there he is in Tinseltown. I guess he figures he needs to preserve and protect the celebrities in his care. But I think Brad really captures it well. His closing item on the blog here: there's no reason to scroll down below this item. Nothing else other than this actually happened this week, either happened or matters. And it is amazing to see. We were talking yesterday with Heather Vokish in Vienna, Austria. She said the Paris Hilton story is big in Europe. And I just think that it once again underscores the zeitgeist of our era, and not in a complimentary way. Well, Brad Friedman has had a very busy week, and part of it he spent with me on the Tom Hartman program, and I invited him on earlier in the week to talk about the negatives of H.R. 811, the Holt bill, which is presumed to try to fix the electronic voting problems that we have encountered, and it has led to a lot of flack from the pro-H.R. 811 people, including an email that Brad got a copy of, in which he and I were described in not-so-flattering terms. Herr Hindenburg, are you there?
Is that me?
Yes, it is, Brad.
I'm still trying to get this story out even as I talk to you, but that's okay. Ask me your question again, and I'll answer even while I blog.
Okay, well, I was describing this email that you shared with me that somebody sent a copy of to you, which described you and your work about H.R. 811 as the Hindenburg of egos.
Well, my work, huh?
Well,
what do you think?
I guess so. Well, I think that's a little extreme.
Well, it's hard to disagree with a guy who has a blog called the Brad Blog.
Uh-huh.
My ego isn't just an enormous part of everything I do. Actually, it's funny that you say that because people have asked about that before. Not my ego, but the name of my blog.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was called the Brad Blog originally just because I needed a place to install the software on my computer, so I put it in a directory called Brad Blog. Figured I'd come up with a real name later and never did.
Oh.
In any case, that little piece of trivia aside, the force is fighting right now for this Rush Holt bill, H.R. 811, are just unbelievable what they're doing. And the frankly, the propaganda they're putting out there, the attacks they're putting out there are simply extraordinary.
And you and I are in good company. I got hit because I invited you onto the Tom Hartman program. And it says here in this action email, I was just told by a listener to the Tom Hartman show, hosted at the time by Peter Collins, that Collins was soliciting listeners to ask their Congress critters to vote against H.R. 811. We need to get pro-H.R. 811 speakers on Hartman's show soon. And they also ding Bev Harris. Stop Bev Harris from snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Don't give Bev Harris a free pass. And it lists a few other people. And I think inadvertently, Brad, this action email from the pro-Holt forces shows just how empty they are, and that there are an array of activists and intelligent people who rationally oppose the Holt bill, and these folks are left with name-calling and, you know, comparing somebody's ego to a dirigible.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'll tell you, it really is demonstrative of what's been going on behind the scenes. Look, there is nothing wrong, you know, if folks believe that H.R. 811, Holt's bill, is a good thing, and it should pass, and if that's what they feel, and if they want to go out there and lobby for it, certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But what we're seeing now is some extraordinary Republican-like tactics, frankly, being used against those who don't feel quite the way that they do about 811, and that there are some dangers, and indeed there are dangers, and of course they will recognize that, but they try to obfuscate that, give an incorrect impression about what the bill will and won't do. They call it a paper ballot bill, mm-hmm. when it certainly does not require paper ballots. They're putting out deceptive literature that says the bill will end paperless electronic voting. Well, I guess it will if you consider a touchscreen voting machine that produces a paper trail to be not paperless voting. But as you and I have talked about many times before, that paper trail is never actually counted,
mm-hmm.
and it still won't be under the Holt bill. So to say that paperless electronic voting is coming to an end because of the Holt bill is deceptive, to put it nicely.
Yep, indeed.
So that's what we're dealing with there, and with this particular crew, and there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. I haven't even reported that particular email. There's more stuff that I'm learning that I will be getting to in the next few days, that's
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And, Brad, as we head into the weekend here, has the Holt bill come to the floor for a vote?
It has not. And, of course, you may have heard people saying it was going to come up for a vote as soon as we got back from the Memorial Day break.
First it was Tuesday, then Wednesday, and...
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and that is, frankly, that is par for the course. That information was, of course, coming out of the Holt office, and they have been putting out that sort of information, whether it's about when it's going to come up for a vote on the floor or, you know, when it's going to come up for a vote in committee. They're using scare tactics. They're telling people if they don't get this bill passed, no other bill will ever pass. Election integrity advocates will be, their reputation will be shot forever. We'll get a Republican bill. I mean, all sorts of just atrocious tactics that we frankly expect from the bad guys out there. And it's rather disappointing to see from folks who, should be, I want to say on our side.
Well, and Brad, the blast at your ego notwithstanding, I want to commend you and compliment you because you were one of the people consulted as this bill was originally drafted. You had high hopes for it. You worked hard behind the scenes and in public on your blog to try to, you know, persuade people in the right direction. You very politely tried to address the people on the other side, including people for the American Way, who I do not understand why they wouldn't come on this program and talk with you and me about this. But I have only compliments for you in terms of how you have proceeded, and I just don't think you deserve these kind of attacks. And it is sad because they are the tactics of the other side, the Republican side, and it's just tragic in my view to see otherwise, well-intentioned and pretty good people dig down into the kind of mudslinging that we've seen.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of it, and it is quite distressing, and I suspect it's going to continue to get worse. These sorts of tactics do need to be exposed, and I don't wish to disparage anybody, frankly. The bill should be debated thoroughly, but it should be debated honestly, and that's not what's happening, particularly coming out of the pro Holt's side.
Yeah. Well, Brad, we're going to take a break here, so you get 4 minutes to finish your blog item, and then the suspense is killing me. You got to tell us what it is, okay?
Hey, it's finished. Go check the Brad blog, and we'll break it on your show when we come back.
Coming up next, right here, if you want to join us toll-free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Brad Friedman with us this hour from bradblog.com. What an ego to name the blog after himself, huh? And, of course, I'm Mr. Humility here with a show that, they named after me. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you.
Have you heard the show? Weekdays from noon to 2 on KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, let's take a look at traffic. We've got CHP telling us about a problem northbound 17 at Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. A cement block in the right lane. Vehicles still swerving to avoid it. Also looking into Hollister at 152. At 156, a big rig on the right shoulder. CHP on the scene. Gilroy, we have a problem. 152 at Watsonville Road. Hecker Pass Highway, actually. It's an accident reported there. And a problem in Gonzales. It'd be northbound 101 before Camp Foray at Gloria Road. It's a solo vehicle that went off the roadway and through a fence. CHP is actually on the scene of this particular problem as well. Highway 17, let's see, we had a problem earlier. Everything's been cleared. So northbound and southbound looking pretty good at this point. And the support brought to you by Long's Drug. For nearly 70 years, your neighborhood. And this report, again, is supported by Long's Drug.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and we have a breaking story.
A message set it up this way. Texas Chamber of Commerce. If you've packed up and left, headed east, headed west, to seek fortune and fame in a much bigger game, we'll still welcome you back. Yes, you're on the right track. If you feel most alive on Farm Road 185, yes, if you're idolized, won a Pulitzer Prize and a Nobel or two, we're still waiting for you. Yes, if you're a big star in NASA or NASCAR, politics or the arts, come on back to these parts. Wouldn't you love a chance to kick back at the ranch with some regular folks, with some pretzels and coke for a full year or two? No one bothering you, doing just what you please, no jet flights overseas. If you put in your term as the head of a firm like FedEx or Fannie Mae, U.S. Steel or the USA, leave the media glare, getting treated unfair. You and God will be one, meet the hot Texas sun. The empire's falling, the Crawford is calling.
That one's called Crawford Boy Retire, and it's aimed at the property owner just next door from what we're about to talk about. Brad Friedman, break the story.
Well, we've got breaking news right now at Bradblog, an exclusive, I should add, that the Cindy Sheehan's property in Crawford, Texas, that she purchased near the George W. Bush Ranch and has dubbed Camp Casey, has now been will be purchased as of tomorrow by progressive radio talk show host Bree Walker, who has a show in Los Angeles on the Air America affiliate out here.
Mm-hmm.
Sheehan will be appearing with her tomorrow. Let's see, to as Bree just told me seconds before I came on the air with you here.
Mm-hmm.
Bree will be giving her the check, and Cindy Sheehan will be giving her the deed to the property on air tomorrow during her regular Saturday show on KTLK. And Cindy will be sitting in with Bree for 2 hours, and your friendly, humble blogger, Brad Friedman, was otherwise scheduled to appear on the show tomorrow at 3 p.m. West Coast time, and I will, in fact, be there. So we've got the exclusive scoop. I should add, Bree was married to, formerly, she was a newscaster in Los Angeles. She was married at one time to sportscaster, HBO, NBC sportscaster Jim Lampley. And both her and Jim are great progressives. And, well, you can get the whole scoop at bradblog.com.
And, Brad, I'm delighted by this. I don't think you're aware of it, but in a casual manner, when Cindy published her resignation letter, I was just kibitzing with listeners, and I said, you know, she in the letter she said, I've got this five-acre plot in Crawford. Does anybody want to buy it? And I said, well, why don't we progressives take a page from the Republicans and the way Duke Cunningham sold his property and got a $500,000 bribe lopped on top of the sale of his home? And I said, well, let's turn this around into a positive way, and it could be a way that we could say thanks to Cindy Sheehan by buying her property with a little profit for, you know, just as recognition of the work that she put in and the pain, suffering, the health problems that she's encountered, and huge amount of money that she has invested in trying to stop the war and bring our troops home. And I have a special email account set up here. I have a dozen listeners who pledged $100, some of them a little less, to try to help in this quest. So it may be too late, but when you talk to Cindy and Bree Walker tomorrow, I would at least ask you to pass along the sentiments of the listeners to the PBC show. And if there's a chance for them to either contribute without compensation or to get a little itty-bitty share for $100 of the Camp Casey property there in Crawford, go ahead and make that offer.
I will indeed. I do know Bree told me that she's going to have to figure out how to pay the, I think it's something like a $1,500 a month maintenance fee up there. She's going to be hiring a private security to keep an eye on the property and so forth. So I think there will be an opportunity to help her out in that regard. And I should add that she is buying it from Cindy for the same price that Cindy actually purchased it for herself. Cindy did not want to be seen as, you know, having profited off of this affair.
I understand, yeah.
And so that's the way she covered it. Now, Bree also says that she is planning to keep it as a legacy of peace, that she's going to create a sort of a Zen garden there, possibly erect a memorial to the troops lost in Iraq, but that she wants to continue the legacy of peace. She actually gave me a great quote saying that she's cashing out her capitalist corporate stocks and buying in to a legacy of peace.
Well, and this is really important because there were some people circling, right-wingers, who wanted to either trick Cindy into selling the property to them or, I guess, offer her so much that she couldn't refuse. And, of course, she's a principled person who wouldn't knowingly do that. But I'm just very glad that people we can easily identify as true progressives are going to take possession of this property. And a lot of my listeners had the same sentiments about turning it into a long-term peace monument to those who stood in opposition to George W. Bush and his misguided war and occupation in Iraq.
And that's from my conversation with her, that sounds exactly like what she is planning to do. And knowing Bree, I have no doubts that that's what we're going to see. And you're right, I think it's just terrific news.
So get all the details at bradblog.com. And Brad will return in just a moment. We'll talk more about election issues in the news this week. And you popped up on NPR. I want you to tell us about that.
Will do.
More coming up next. And you can call into the program toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or perm, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
We'll always have Paris. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The moment Paris Hilton was reassigned away from her jail cell, the rumors began flying about the real reason, ranging from a bad rash to psychological trauma. Maybe she wanted to be home in time for the Sopranos finale like everybody else. So I opened it up to calls on my show to tap into the outrage over this latest example of unequal treatment, and there was Bonnie with the story of her boyfriend.
My boyfriend's had 3 DUIs, never done a day in jail.
Is he an actor?
No.
Wait a minute. Ordinary non-celebs are treated the same way?
And I sit in there in court. Nobody really gets a lot of time for this stuff. They get break after break after break.
Break after break. Then there's Dean, who drove drunk in Idaho.
Yeah, actually, I just got my hand slapped.
Got his hand slapped. And then Lisa told me it's not just the drunks who get off.
My daughter had a friend who robbed 2 banks and was let out with a bracelet.
Bank robber! Imagine the rash he must have had. However, non-white people like Ray see it differently.
Paris Hilton had a rash. I hope when I go to jail, I have a boil.
And there was Norm, who drove drunk, pulled over to sleep it off, and a cop found him.
He woke me up, and I pretty much puked on his shoes.
And Norm got exactly what the law prescribed.
And I lost my license for a year.
Did you go to jail?
24 hours, and they let you, when it's your first offense, go to detox and watch the people come off heroin or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what to do? Actually, I thought Lisa hit on a good way to achieve equal justice.
I wish I'd get let out in Paris Hilton's house.
There's the answer. Anybody caught driving drunk, we make you spend 40 days in Paris Hilton's house with Paris. Talk about being scared straight. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day. Through
email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall.
Try a Barracuda firewall for free.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM,
888-ANTI-SPAM,
or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Recite after me, this land is your land, unless you want every vote counted and every vote to count.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for me.
We continue our visit this week with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's sporting the classic green and yellow in his accoutrements and accessories. And he, of course, is the proprietor of bradblog.com, where there's a lot of great information, often too much for us to cover in a single hour here on the radio each week. And, Brad, this week there were some very interesting developments. Of course, we have been following with great interest the scandal over the U.S. attorneys, Alberto Gonzalez's lame testimony, including misstatements, amnesia, and what I consider to be outright lies. And we keep asking ourselves, okay, what's under this? What's under the next rock? What are they covering up? And for the longest time at BradBlog, you have been on to the American Center for Voting Rights, and a guy who we've talked about on a number of occasions named Thor Hearn. Tell us a little bit about the developments this week and the coverage on NPR.
My friend Thorn, and you know Thor, he's from St. Louis, Missouri, by the way.
Your hometown.
My hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He was the National General Counsel for Bush Cheney 04 Inc., and he was behind this American Center for Voting Rights group, along with co-founder Jim Dyke, who was the RNC's communication director, though Dyke doesn't appear to have done the dastardly deeds, really, that Thor was responsible for himself. They've been putting out literature propaganda concerning Democratic voter fraud now for years. It's all been stuff and nonsense, and, of course, they know it, and hoping to, you know, create restrictive photo ID laws at the polling place to keep Americans from being able to cast their vote. Well, if you turn over any rock in this fight, in this issue concerning the DOJ and all of this baloney, voter fraud baloney, you'll find Thor Hearn. And I have, of course, been reporting on him since about 3 days after they appeared out of nowhere back in March of 2005. I've been, as you know, running around with my hair on fire trying to let everyone know what a scam this was and, frankly, how close it is to the White House, because Thor was a very high muckety-muck, if you will, in the Bush-Cheney group, a very close friend of Rove's, and he was mentioned by name when Rove spoke not all that long ago at the Republican National Lawyers Association concerning elections. Well, the heat has been coming down on old Thor and the ACVR as the mainstream media has finally begun to report on the American Center for Voting Rights scam, at least a little bit. We've seen reports over the last couple of weeks, including one, was it earlier this week on NPR? I've already lost track.
Yes, it was.
It was okay. seems like a month ago now. And I did speak, it was with Peter Overby of NPR. I actually spoke with him last week, and they used part of that interview this week in a story about ACVR and Thor Hearn in particular, who have now gone scurrying back under their rock, running for cover since the light of day of the U.S. attorney purge. So he seems to be on the run and won't even respond anymore to media inquiries, including those from NPR and, you know, other pretty impressive mainstream media outlets. This is a bit of a change of pace, given that Thor used to be quite prolific on all of these programs, including NPR, where he had appeared many times to shout about Democratic voter fraud,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, was nonsense, but it was NPR, so they didn't check it out too closely.
No, they allowed that and said, on the other hand, Democrats say there is no voting fraud.
Right, and that's where they leave it, and you're left with the impression that, well, gosh, who knows what the truth is? It must be somewhere in between. Well, no, it's not somewhere in between. There is not Democratic voter fraud. Or where there is, it's, I mean, literally, I think they came up with something like 20 convictions over the past 5 years that this Justice Department has been trying to find voter fraud any place they could, unless it was down in Florida where Ann Coulter actually did commit voter fraud.
Yep.
But I digress. So this week it began to come out a little bit more. And, in fact, while Thor won't talk to the New York Times or the NPR, apparently there is a reporter at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that he is still willing to talk to, a woman by the name of Jo Manies, who I've gotten to know a little bit. And she reported this week some comments from Thor to the effect of he blames that liberal blogger Brad Friedman at the Brad Blog for the demise of the ACVR.
Did he spell your name right?
Well, he said it, so I don't know how he spelled it. The good news is, though,
that's validation, my friend. That's what we call it, validation.
Who knew I had such power? Odd that I'm out there begging and pleading for $5 and $10 donations while this guy received nearly $1 million for his ACVR scam. And guess what, Peter? We still have no idea where that $1 million came from. Well, we have an idea, don't we? But so far he hasn't reported it. Nobody really knows. And mind you, this was a 501c3 outfit. That means they were a tax-exempt, supposedly nonpartisan organization. And they're supposed to report that sort of information, where their money came from.
That's right.
They have failed to, and this is one of the reasons why I've been trying to make so much noise about it, because, well, he's not going to tell me where it came from. Believe me, I've spoken to him in the early days. He doesn't take my calls anymore for some reason. But, you know, I don't know where that money came from, and I would suggest perhaps someone in the mainstream media, perhaps someone in Congress. I might even suggest someone in the Department of Justice, but that probably won't get us anywhere. They need to figure out where the hell this guy's money came from. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, it comes straight from White House folks.
Brad Friedman is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Brad, you also reference Murray Wass in this item about Thor Hearn and the American Center for Voting Rights. And I just want to tip our listeners off that he has a powerful and thick book out that I'm going to plow through over the weekend. And it is all about the Scooter Libby trial. And he's going to be on our program this coming Monday. We'll talk to him for an hour, partly about the Libby case and then about the reporting that he's been doing, some great work on this investigation, which is linked to the voter caging concept, which was blurted out by Monica Goodling in her immunized testimony before the Congress about a week ago.
Yeah, and I should add, by the way, Murray did a terrific report, and I spoke to him a few days prior to that report, on Thor Hearn and the ACVR over at National Journal. It was a great report. Actually, he did something on Thor and the ACVR, and Jason Leopold over at Truth Out picked up something also on the ACVR in his interview with David Iglesias, the purged New Mexico U.S. attorney. I haven't been able to give either story yet proper due, but I'm sure Murray will give you some thoughts about Thor Hearn and the ACVR himself. And, in fact, I believe it was Murray's report at National Journal, which ended up triggering the NPR report because, well, you know, they don't really cover stuff when Brad Blog reports it, but they do when a mainstream media outlet such as National Journal covers it, which is why it's so important for folks to pick up on what I've been doing and bring that into the mainstream media.
One of the foot soldiers in the effort that is taking some shape now, at least we can see the outlines of it, it appears to me that this long-term Republican scheme was intended to try to identify a handful of cases of voter fraud committed by Democrats and then blow that up into some sort of a huge crisis. And as you pointed out, the fix for that is a voter ID card, but it also relates to the various vote purging techniques that have been used, driven by Republican activists in various states and other jurisdictions around the country.
Yeah, it was a very, very broad scheme and well-orchestrated scheme because it went all the way into the Department of Justice. And you're right, what they were basically doing was, as they were putting out this information that, oh, gosh, there's a 50,000 or whatever numbers they would come up with, 50,000 voters that shouldn't be on the voting rolls in Missouri, well, the DOJ would bring indictments against the Secretary of State of Missouri, which were, you know, laughed out of court. And this week, by the way, the DOJ is still at it. They appealed that contest against Secretary of State of Missouri that had previously been thrown out. So they haven't given up on this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, yeah, all of that reporting was meant to say, oh, gosh, look, we have to purge these voter rolls. There's all these dead voters on the voting rolls and people voting twice. At the same time, we've got to arrest these folks who are, filling out registration forms illegally. And, I mean, the entire scam. Oh, and then Thor Hearn would come in, and he would give testimony or friend-of-the-court briefs in all of these cases. So it was all working hand-in-hand, and this huge scheme was meant to do nothing but keep Americans from voting, particularly in swing states where the races were very close. The DOJ did nothing, by the way, where you had Republican election administrators running the state. States like Colorado, Utah, Texas, where arguably, as a DOJ source of mine has told me, the problems with the voting rolls there were at least as bad as in those places where they were bringing these lawsuits, but they didn't touch the red states, only the blue states. I'll add there was a great report, by the way, from McClatchy this week. Greg Gordon at McClatchy reported on exactly that. He talked about a Republican Secretary of State up in Michigan who did go ahead and install a new computerized registration scheme up there and was purging folks who didn't match up properly in the database, people who were thought to be dead and so forth. And a public records request revealed that some 400 dead people in Michigan alone called to complain that they were not, in fact, dead.
Don't you hate that? I mean, who pays the toll on a call from a dead person?
Yeah, tell me about it. Those were the sorts of people that they were purging from these voter rolls, which are, by the way, just generally full of mistakes. People who have moved, who have registered again, didn't realize they had to change their old address, or as they've been, what they're doing now is they're trying to match them against records at the DMV. So if you've got Peter Collins on your driver's license and Peter B. Collins on your registration record, you'll be thrown out of the system in some of these states. It's a pretty insidious scheme, and boy, that's what all of this was about.
And there's another little wrinkle that we'll talk about after a break. A guy named Bradley Schlotzman, who still works at the Justice Department, was there for a bizarre hearing and interesting performance in front of a Senate committee where all the Republicans boycotted. We'll talk about that with Brad as we continue. And, Brad, you got 3 minutes to decide whether Bradley Schlotzman is snarky, smarmy, or both. You get to pick the adjectives as we return. More in a moment. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
If you'd like to see The Police, Bon Jovi, Melissa Etheridge, John Mayer, and more, tune in this Sunday at 10 a.m. when Rock Rollin' Real Estate talks with Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Holdings. Jim will be highlighting the power of compounding your real estate investments. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. To our new listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland, Oregon, you're welcome to drop me an email. Let me know your thoughts about the show, any questions or comments. We'll see if we can address them in future programs. My personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Or you can try humblehost@peterbcollins.com and see what happens. We continue with Brad Friedman, proprietor of BradBlog.com. And Brad, pick your adjectives there for Bradley Schlotzman. Snarky, smarmy, or both?
I would say chipmunk is the one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Did you Did you happen to see any of that video, Peter?
Well, I did. I accidentally hit it on C-SPAN when I was looking for something else, and I was struck. It was interesting. Schlotzman presents as a real chipmunk kind of guy. He's got a strange voice.
He's got a really strange voice. I turned it on. I was watching it online, and I thought there must be something wrong with my internet connection. It was sped up or something.
No, I watched it on the cable TV, and he had a weird voice. And he had a real interesting demeanor, too. He wasn't really giving up much to the senators, but he was forced to make a few admissions.
Well, I'll tell you, I got the sense in watching that hearing, I'll be frank, that this guy really doesn't understand what he did wrong. Now, maybe I'm giving him too much credit. You know, when you watch Alberto Gonzalez, smarmy certainly comes to mind because it seems clear that he knows he's lying. This guy, and it may tell us quite a bit about the thinking here in the Bush administration on the Republican side on these matters. You know, I think that he really thought this sort of behavior was appropriate. I think he thought, you know, bringing an indictment against the four voter registration workers just days before the 06 election in Missouri, despite it being strictly against the policies of the DOJ, according to their written policies, he thought that that was the right thing to do, I think. It's very hard to tell.
Well, and it was interesting because Patrick Leahy, the senator from Vermont who chairs that committee, is a very restrained, mild-mannered, diplomatic guy, a former prosecutor himself. And he was really worked up. He was yelling at Schlotzman.
Yeah,
he was telling him, you expect me to believe that?
Well, what he was asking him was, you know, would it have made any difference if you had brought that case? It was, mind you, a very close election down there in Missouri. Everyone knew that, a Senate race. And, you know, the question was, would bringing a case like this just days before the election have, you know, an effect on the election itself? And he asked Schlotzman, would it have made any difference in the case had you waited, you know, a week or two before filing it?
Mm-hmm.
Schlotzman wouldn't say yes or no until he finally admitted, yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference. I could have brought it after the election. But he chose to bring it before, which, as I say, is in violation of the Department of Justice's own written policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was not unusual, unfortunately. That was what was going on all across the Department of Justice. And remember, Schlotzman was the guy who had been in charge of the Civil Rights Voting Rights Unit at the DOJ. Now, late this afternoon, I should add, we've got some additional breaking news here that Schlotzman now is looking to change his testimony. I guess they leave the record open for a few days, and he's allowed to come in and make corrections to that testimony. And he may well do that because he blamed the permit. He says that he got permission to bring this case from the folks in the Public Integrity Unit. Apparently the folks in the Public Integrity Unit aren't so happy that Schlotzman has made that claim, as if to say it was their fault that he brought it. The fellow in charge was Craig Don Santo. And Don Santo seems to be indicating that, no, this wasn't me. This was Schlotzman or somebody else giving Schlotzman the go-ahead to bring this case.
Now,
and,
Brad,
yeah.
as I was watching the proceedings on C-SPAN, I was struck because C-SPAN doesn't always give you a cover shot, a wide shot. But at one point they did. And there was only one senator in that hearing room. At the point, it was Dianne Feinstein quizzing him. And it appears that the Republican members of the Judiciary Committee had a coordinated boycott of this particular hearing.
Well, they certainly didn't show up, not a single one of them. Now, we have, there's a 9 total Republican members on the Judiciary Committee. Not one showed up. The Democrats, we figured it out. There was a majority of the Democrats were there at one point or another. I think 6 total were there and asking questions and so forth. But not a single Republican came. And our D.C. Brad Block D.C. correspondent Margie Burns was called all of the Republican offices to try to get their reasons why. Only four, she was only able to hear from 4 of the 9. Each of those 4 claimed they had other business they had to attend to that day.
Yeah, they were investing voter fraud in their districts.
Apparently so. The other 5 didn't show up at all. So it's hard to know. Was it a purposeful boycott? Did they have something else to do? I don't know, but I do know they didn't show up at one of the most, you know, important hearings at one of the, you know, the biggest stories to hit D.C. in Lord knows how long. So that's telling. And more breaking news, Peter, tonight. As of today, the White House has announced that they have brought on 9 new attorneys for some reason or another, all apparently coming out of Fred Fielding's, he's the White House counsel, out of his former law firm that he left to come to the White House, and he's now raided 9 more attorneys out of that firm.
Well, they did have an account with one of those prepaid legal phone-in services, and apparently they've maxed out.
Yeah, well, if they had legal insurance, they're getting their money's worth now. So yeah, got to ask yourself what it is at the White House, why they think they need to bring on 9 new attorneys, Peter. I suspect you and I will be having plenty to discuss in the weeks and months ahead.
And I guess they expect to receive some subpoenas and some other process as some of these cases go forward.
Well, and they do seem to be going forward. I realize it is sometimes seems like it's a snail's pace for many folks who just want to impeach these bastards and get it over with. And I empathize with that, but I guess you got to take certain steps. And slowly but surely, I should suggest things do seem to be moving forward.
Well, Brad, it's been a busy week. What do you say we do this again next week?
Sounds like a great idea.
Looks
Have a
like,
good one, my friend.
Looks like there'll be no shortage of things to talk about.
No, indeed.
That's Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. He's working hard, and his fingers show it. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Happy trails to you until again.
This program is produced in San Francisco by the vacationing Katrina Rill. We miss you, Katrina. Brian Urban is our assistant producer on duty. You can visit our website to catch archive programs and the live stream of our weekday program, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, at www.peterbcollins.com.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evening 7 to 8. Taking shame and blame out of addiction, we take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evening 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Paris Hilton was in tears today as she was hauled into court to face the judge who sentenced her to jail. Jim Paracchini is a court spokesman.
The judge heard arguments. He heard out the county counsel's office representing the sheriff. He heard the defense. He heard the city attorney. He ruled that he was remanding Ms. Hilton to the sheriff's custody to serve the remainder of her sentence.
At that, the 26-year-old Hilton turned to her mother and wailed, "It's not right," as she was led away. Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca says he released Hilton to home confinement because she has a serious medical problem, but he will comply with today's ruling.
We will follow what the judge has ordered, and I will deal with the consequences of her medical problem. And it can go up or it can go down. But we've been this way before with other inmates, and we're thus going to deal with her the best way we can.
Paris Hilton is now jailed at a special medical facility. Delayed for months after a freak hailstorm, Space Shuttle Atlantis is finally in orbit after a picture-perfect launch from the Kennedy Space Center. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live.
Bill, Shuttle Commander Rick Sturkow is glad to finally get off the ground.
I'd like to express our appreciation to the teams for Pad 39 Alpha.
ET-124 and the Space Shuttle Atlantis for their dedication and hard work.
That includes workers who made a hail-damaged fuel tank flight ready. NASA says the Expedition 15 crew watched the launch live on the International Space Station. They'll be greeting the Atlantis crew in less than 2 days. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
When he became Defense Secretary, Robert Gates says he intended to nominate Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace for a second term, but after sounding out key senators, he's decided against it.
There was the very real prospect the process would be quite contentious.
I'm Mark Knoller in Rome. We're told that President Bush reluctantly agreed with the recommendation of Defense Secretary Gates not to renominate General Pace for another term. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says Mr. Bush has the highest respect for Pace, but it was felt he would face bruising confirmation hearings about what went wrong in Iraq, and Mr. Bush agreed with Gates to go with the new Joint Chiefs Chairman.
The nominee is Admiral Mike Mullen, currently Chief of Naval Operations. You might be stuck in traffic right now, but at least you're not stuck on a plane in New York. Flight delays at the region's airports range up to 4 hours. Diana Speetley.